What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward family hospital in partnership with physician owners.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody, our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch, now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's gonna make me wanna go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.
We live in an enlightened age, Peter, where science not only reveals the old mysteries as mere superstitions, but little by little discovers the true mysteries of the universe. However, I would not play with the occult if I were you. One's obsession with it could be the real danger.
Hello everyone, this is Isaac from IlluminatiWatcher.com. You are listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast. Now, I must preface our talk today with a little bit of a forewarning. I do not have a guest. My guest I've been in contact with, we've been talking, he's from the UK. And I'm very excited to get him on my show. However, we've been having a hard time syncing up our schedules. So, I have some free time this month on my little bandwidth, so I thought I'd have a little chat with you and talk about a couple things that are going on, some thoughts in my mind, try to drop some knowledge on some things I've been reading about lately. I've been reading through Jamie Hanshaw and Freeman Fly's latest edition of Weird Stuff. Very good. I suggest it highly. I've also been reading Peter Lavenda's Sinister Forces and a book about nihilism on TV with a, it's called Shows About Nothing. Very interesting stuff. If I sound a little stuffed up, it's because I'm suffering from seasonal allergies, which is exacerbated by the climate change situation going on. Most of you know I'm a believer in climate change, which puts me in the minority with this conspiracy crowd, but it's true. As the global temperature increases, the plants and trees are going to be pollinating more aggressively, so things are not going to get better with this. It's apparently going to be an issue we'll deal with in the future, and it's going to get worse. I read an article the other day talking about how bee pollen and honey does not, the honey from the bees does not actually help you with allergies. I don't know if you knew that. It was news to me. I always hear everyone telling me to eat some honey for local honey. That way you can get the local pollen in your system, but I just read that it's not true. I've heard that that's some health food store gimmick. So I'm chalking up one more point in the non-New Age column for me. It's interesting, when I started this whole conspiracy journey, I was kind of an avid believer in the New Age stuff, and the more I learn, the more I research, the more I think it's kind of a deception. I think it's the big agenda there. I think a lot of the principles and stuff they teach helps you and I with our earthly world and trying to figure out our own selves and trying to deal with the symbolism and messaging we're getting elsewhere. But I think overall there's a lot of deception in there, as is with the honey from the bees. Apparently not good for seasonal allergies. And the reason for that is because the bees are pollinating flowers, but the flowers aren't the problem with allergies. It's the trees and the grass and the weeds that are causing the reaction in the body. The body thinks it's a parasite when it enters into your system, so it attacks it, and that's why some of us suffer worse than others. It makes my life a nightmare. But anyways, enough about me. Speaking of the revelations and new age deceptions. I've been doing a lot of soul searching recently, and I feel like my attitude and views towards this whole comprehensive conspiracy world is changing rapidly. And those of you that listened to my recent interview on Richard Hoagland's The Other Side of Midnight probably know what I'm getting at. For those of you that aren't familiar, Mr. Richard Hoagland is a very famous theorist. He's worked with NASA, but he's also good at finding anomalies out in space and claiming there's like lunar bases and shattered domes on Mars and the moon and all of these other things. And I was honored to be an invited guest on his show, and things did not pan out so well for me. No, they didn't. I'm not going to conjecture or talk bad about the show, but I was a little surprised and taken back by how much I was put on the defense, to be honest. I was under the impression I was going to have the time to go through my theories and ideas and beliefs, but apparently he didn't like that I didn't have enough quote-unquote evidence to support my ideas, so he abruptly cut the show short. So I don't know if I was maybe touching on a little close to the truth when I was talking about how aliens are just demons and we're being led down a path to believe in them by NASA and others. I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. If you can get access to the show, they have an archive system on theothersideofmidnight.com. Take a listen. I'm curious to hear what you think. I talked to a couple of you on Facebook afterwards because, you know, at this point it was probably 3 a.m. when I got done with the interview, when it got cut off, and my jaw literally dropped, and I was looking around my office like, did that just happen? What the hell just happened? And, you know, I attribute it to a couple things. I could be overly sensitive, and maybe I just really wasn't explaining myself well, because most of you know public speaking is not really my strongest suit, especially not off the cuff, kind of like in the debate format, so to speak. So I'll admit I have a lot of work to do if I want to get into the realm of, you know, hanging with the big dogs like Richard Hoagland, or like when I was on that Sirius satellite radio show. But it's interesting to me that I kind of thought everyone in this conspiracy world was kind of open-minded to hearing other people's ideas. So when I got shut down so quick, I was literally shocked and surprised by it. And I don't know. I don't know if my mind kind of took it to a place where I'm defending myself and saying, oh yeah, he was just picking on me and didn't like what I was saying. I was speaking the truth. Or maybe it just wasn't making for good radio. Maybe I'm just not good at in the entertainment spectrum, so to speak. So anyways, I'm curious to hear what other people think about how the show went, if they're able to access it. Some of the people on Facebook were talking to me, and they seemed to support my side of the story of, it feels like I was getting a little too close to something that I don't know if he didn't like, or if he didn't believe in, or what it was. There was something there for sure. Or maybe I'm just not that good at being on the radio. And, you know, he's got a much larger network than most podcasts that I go on, obviously. So he's got a more, more polished kind of entertaining show, so to speak. So maybe it didn't work out for me. I don't know. Moving on, I've got some really cool news. My first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, The Illuminati, Ancient Aliens, and Pop Culture, is now available on Audible. I worked with the great narrator Eric Burns, who also did the voice for Operation Mind Control and another audiobook that's in the works. It's the classic Stranger at the Pentagon. But anyways, Eric Burns did the narration for me. We went through it. Everything sounds great. We uploaded it. It's live and ready to go. From what I gather, it should be on iTunes also. So you can get it on Amazon, Audible, or iTunes. And I think there's another market somewhere out there. I'll post it online. I've got a post on IlluminatiWatcher.com where I talk about this audio book and where you can get it and all this. But what's cool about this is I'm going to be getting multiple free download codes that I'm going to give away to you guys. I don't know how many yet. It could be as many as 50. So what I want to do is I want, you know, and I'm recording this on April 15th, 2016, and I intend to make the post and the video and all that stuff live, I don't know, this weekend sometime, maybe tonight. And what I would like you to do is go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, and there's a post I'm going to have for the Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, the audiobook. And all you got to do is leave a comment in the bottom saying you want the free download code or whatever. Now, what I need you to do is put your real email address in. You can use a fake name, I don't care. But use your real email address. That way I can send you the code. And as a caveat there, I'm not going to use that email address for anything at all. It's literally just to contact you if you win. Because I'm going to choose the names at random whenever I get the 50, up to 50 codes. I don't know if I'm getting all 50. It might be as low as 10. But anyways, hopefully I get as many as the 50. But so put your email address in there, whatever name you want to put. Put Donald Duck, I don't care. And I'll contact you because I'll be picking the names at random. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. I think there's some kind of app where I can do that, or I can put it into Excel. There's a randomizer function. Anyways, I want to make it fair. So, yeah, do that, man. Go to the bottom. Go to the comments. Plug it in. Doesn't cost you anything. And I'm not going to use your email address. I'm not even going to sign it up for my email newsletter that I'm always harping about. Because I put a ton of work into that email newsletter, by the way. That's years of work building the sequence. But I'm not even going to plug it into that, man. Like, nothing. So, anyways, that's my way of saying thanks. I love you guys. I love you guys for listening to this stuff. For giving me the chance to talk to you, for the patience, because I know I'm not awesome at some of these things. I do better at writing than I do speaking or the podcast or the interview sometimes. Kind of depends. I don't know. Sometimes I get shook. Sometimes it goes smooth. Whatever. Still learning. But yeah, so do that. And at the end of this podcast, I'm going to try to plunk in a 4-minute preview clip of the audiobook. I don't know if I can legally do that or not. I'm gonna freaking do it anyways until they cut me off. But so yeah, stay tuned for that. That'll be the very end of the show. If I see a good response on the Audible downloads of this audiobook, then I'm gonna proceed to do the rest of them. It kind of just depends. I mean, it's a lot of work, and you know, it just depends. Like, if no one is really interested in the audiobooks, I'll probably just put the kibosh on it. But hopefully everyone gets on there, downloads it, whether you get it free or you pay for it, or you do the Audible's got like a free sign up. I've got a link on that same post for the Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory audiobook. I'll have a link for a free 30-day trial, and you can get the book for free that way too. But anyways, no matter how, if I can get some good responses from it, good reviews, then I'm gonna do them all, man. We're gonna do it. I'm gonna flood the market with the audiobooks. So that's like the biggest thing going on right now for me. I'm going to be on a few radio shows coming up here soon. I don't want to name drop just in case they fall through, but there's 3 or 4 shows that I've been invited on. I think I'm doing the next one in June, and then the other ones I got to figure out a way to schedule it in there. It's been hard lately. My day job's been killing me, so I'll try to squeeze it in where I can. I'm also working on this really cool video where I'm taking a compilation of clips from movies and television shows, and I'm going to use them to support pretty much all the arguments I've been making over these years over, you know, symbolism and that kind of stuff, predictive programming. It should be a really cool video. I'm not sure how I'm going to get it out there yet. I'll at least get a teaser download of it on my YouTube channel, and I might go through the Gumroad in order to get the downloads out there. I'm not sure how. But anyways, that's another project I'm working on. That'll be out in the next few weeks, hopefully. We'll see. I've been writing another book on the side. I'm not sure what it's going to be about. I think it's mostly about the alien deception, or it's going to be a sequel to a Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, because it's kind of covering a lot of stuff. But one interesting thing about this is that I made contacts with a guy, and he's well connected in the entertainment industry. I don't want to say his name, but he's very connected. And he was telling me, we had a phone call, we started talking, And he was telling me all these stories about the stuff that he sees going on behind the scenes, confirming a lot of these ideas that we've been talking about. Now, we're not talking about he didn't see any kind of like satanic ritual or something like that, but he saw some things that suggested there is truly deception going on. There's a lot of weird symbolism going on. And he was talking to me about the monomyth. And if you're not familiar, there's a thing called the monomyth, and it's called the hero's journey. And this formula is used in practically all films. It's Star Wars is probably the most famous one. And the way it works is the main character is called to go on some journey, and he gets aid from the supernatural realm, and then there's various people that interplay in there, and then they begin to transform. Now, when the hero figures it all out, he has been an initiate. He's been through the death and rebirth cycle. This is a lot of the alchemical process that we've been talking about, where a person can transform. Ultimately, the occultists want to become gods, but it's the same idea. It's that these people are gone through the blackening process, and then they return back from the underground, back to the regular world, so to speak. So, and you can look it up online. There's a million articles about this, but it's very interesting because at the same time that, you know, my friend was talking to me on the phone there, I was researching about Carl Jung and the archetypes. And a lot of the archetype stuff is, it's stuff we see in marketing, but we're also going to see it in the entertainment industry. They want to take certain roles and find people that can fill those roles. And I feel like the entertainment industry is trying to support certain archetypes. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because for years I've had very strange opportunities presented. For instance, there was one television channel that wanted me to go on a show and talk about weather modification. And I was interested in it. So we were talking and they said, well, do you believe that HAARP can change the weather? And I kind of balked at it. I said, you know, I did like a lot of research on HAARP and it can do some things, but I'm not sure it can change the weather. And I told the guy, I said, but, you know, weather modification is true. You had stuff like Operation Popeye in the Vietnam War where they flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail with cloud seeding operations. So there's for sure some weather modification programs. And we went back and forth and he insisted I take this stance of believing HAARP can change the weather. And I eventually just walked away from the project. Because quite frankly, I don't need it. I don't need to be labeled as some crazy person. And you see who makes it in the entertainment industry, and they always fill that role of the crazy conspiracy theorist. Look at Giorgio Tsoukalos. He's the guy with the huge hair on Ancient Aliens. Why do you think he's got the huge hair? How do you think he ended up with his own TV show? Even though the guy doesn't really know anything about archaeology, he was some kind of weightlifting promoter. And I'm not taking anything away from Ancient Aliens. I actually love that show. Or Giorgio Tsoukalos for that matter. But the point is, the entertainment industry wants to fill in certain archetypal roles. And I find it quite curious that the conspiracy theorist is always the crazy person. That's always the archetype role that the conspiracy theorist must play. It can never be a rational person who says, well, you know, I don't know, maybe. Maybe this is possible, maybe it's not. And that's exactly what happened to me on several shows. They've always wanted me to commit to certain things that I've said, look, I don't know, man. Like, the evidence points in this direction, and I find it quite odd, but, you know, there's no smoking gun on some of this stuff. That's why it's a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy fact. It's a theory on some of the stuff. The other stuff is factual and supportable. But that's not the stuff they want you to defend and stand by. They want you to stand by the quote-unquote fringe crazy stuff. Because then they want to tear you apart and make sure that the message gets out there that people who are into conspiracy theories are just nut jobs. But we all know otherwise. We know that normal people believe in a lot of this stuff. It's right in front of you. a great example that applies right now. David Icke was talking about the two-gang system of the Democrats and the Republicans, and we're seeing it happen right now in America with Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. They're both the more popular candidate for each party, yet you see this coordinated effort to bring them both down. So I'm interested to see what happens by the time it gets down to the convention, because you can tell that the media and the hardliners all are against these two because they are outsiders. They aren't part of the gang necessarily. Anyways, a lot of these topics, they all come back around to the symbolism ideas and the marketing. And you must understand that the entertainment industry is no different than the others, where there's an agenda and they're moving forward, and they only support the things that coincide with their agenda. So, moving on, I've actually got another book, and I haven't published the post yet. I'm going to hit publish on it here real soon, but what it is, it's a compilation of my mini ebooks. I sent out a survey some time ago, and on it, there was interest in various books, and I've had a couple people email me asking me to put them all together in one. Well, let me back up. Technically, I've had people email me asking me for paperback versions of the mini ebooks, and I tried to format that, but it wasn't cost effective because by the time I, got it all printed out, even if I didn't make any profit on it, the cost was like $7 for one of these mini books, but it's just not worth it. I mean, it was 30, 40 pages, and I couldn't in good conscience charge for that. So what I did was I took a few of the most popular mini ebooks and compiled them together into one larger paperback. And this paperback is called Alice in Rocky Horror Land: Entertainment's Pursuit of the Transhuman Desert Apocalypse. I know that's a mouthful, but what it is just a compilation of those various books. You can figure out the titles and know which ones are in it. So in this book, we've got the Hidden Occult Messages of Alice in Wonderland as the first book. And in that, most of you are familiar, we talk about Alice in Wonderland and how that tale is actually about her occult initiation as she goes through the underground. And she goes through the process where she comes out, again, this is the monomyth we were talking about a minute ago. She comes out a new initiate. She went through the alchemical process. The second book is the Rocky Horror Picture Show symbolism book. It's called It's Just a Jump to the Left. And in it, we talk about how the characters from this musical are actually doing a dance into the abyss. That's the Time Warp song. And I go through a lot of all of these things have actual images. Like this one has images from the film in it to support a lot of the arguments that I am presenting. Another book within this book is the Desert Enigma. And in it, we talk about Paulo Coelho's book, The Alchemist. Most of you have read this book, I'm sure. It's actually quite a good book. But the point is, it's part of this New Age agenda, because a lot of people don't realize that Coelho was inspired by our friend Aleister Crowley, of course. And a lot of the New Age stuff is deceivingly packaged to support a lot of the New Age ideals. Of occultism, that is. It's all about this evolution of consciousness. They think they're on a higher calling to push us down this certain path. And then this book ends with my fourth mini ebook called The Transhuman and Occult Apocalypse: How Google Will Solve the Problem of Humanity. And in it, we explore different ideas behind transhumanism, the occult, and obviously Google, because they are playing a critical factor in all of these things, and how it appears that they are pushing us down into an apocalypse where mankind is no longer a thing. That is the intent behind transhumanism. So this book is already live. You can get it on Amazon, where there's like a Kindle version, and then there's also a paperback version, or you can go through IlluminatiWatcher.com. At the top, there's a shop page. You can get it on there. I've got links. And I've got a couple copies sitting in here in the office. If you go to my Gumroad store, you'll see if there is availability by the time you're hearing this message. If there is, I will gladly sign one and ship it right to you. It's a pretty cool book. I like it. There's lots of cool pictures in it. It's just under 300 pages. So, you know, but it's a quick read. It's a good read. So, obviously, I highly recommend it. It's my book, right? Anyways, yeah, so you can check that out. It's called Alice in Rocky Horror Land. So that's the latest and greatest from my little world. I hope you enjoyed our little chat today here. I might as well do a final plug. You know, I've got all that stuff, like the free email newsletter on IlluminatiWatcher.com. And I've got a YouTube channel you should check out. I'm going to finish off this episode here with this preview clip of A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, the audiobook. And like I said, you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and find the post for A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, the audiobook. And on it, you can find links for the free giveaways that I've got going on there. No matter how you get a copy of this, if you get it through one of the free giveaways or you sign up for the free Audible, 30-day thing, or you go out and you just buy it, if you could leave a review so I can kind of get an idea of if you liked it or not, that would be ideal, because I want to know if I should move forward with making audiobooks of my other books, because I've got a few of them out there, you know? So I kind of need that feedback from you, and I'd appreciate that a ton. So anyways, I'll leave you to listen to this, and thank you so much for listening.
I wanted to include this section in the beginning in order to express the angle from which I'm approaching this project. I don't necessarily care to explain who I am so much, but rather just to let the reader understand the perspective and fundamentals of where this information is coming from. The ultimate goal of this book is to explore the idea of a grand unified conspiracy theory that makes sense of what data and theories are currently out there. Conspiracy theorists have a stigma for being crazy and eccentric, but I'd like to provide a rational voice for those of us who aren't senseless or bizarre. I tried to write this book in different digestible chunks, without one chapter relying too much on another, so that I could make the most sense of all the information. I present smaller doses of much of the material, so that if the reader wants to learn more, he or she will know where to begin researching. Other areas I dig into much deeper, including the cover-up murder of Princess Diana and the film symbolism sections in the appendix. I've always been intrigued by the supernatural, aliens, UFOs, entertainment, pop culture, and conspiracy theories. My first recollection for obtaining an interest in conspiracy theories was reading religious pamphlets in the grocery store. There were religious warnings of an apocalypse in a pamphlet that talked about how all social security numbers contain the 3 6s, making the mark of the beast. Of course, if you didn't have the 3 6s in your social security number, then you've got 2 6s and 1 9, and that makes up for the 3 6s, and so on. At first, the idea grabbed me, but after a short investigation into my own family members, I quickly debunked it. The point is, the theories are interesting, fun, and thought-provoking, no matter if they're fraudulent or not. It's not much different than watching professional wrestling. Even though the fights are rigged, there is still a physical aspect to it and danger that makes it exciting to watch. It's still entertainment. I liken all conspiracy theories to this because there's usually a grain of interesting fact in all conspiracy theories that make it worthwhile to learn something new, even if the investigation turns out fruitless. Applying this thought process to numerous exercises of conspiracy theorizing for at least 20 years has given me a different perspective on life than most. I've never thought theorists to be insane or offensive, although some are definitely fraudulent. This lack of discrimination has led me to review more material than I probably should have in my lifetime. I'd like to consider myself a theorist that is open and honest about the lack of solid evidence involved with the theories. Some theories simply cannot be debunked, and I find these the most stimulating. Other theories are most likely not possible, but still thought-provoking and worth taking a look at. My first real book I've read about conspiracy theories, which I recommend to everyone, is Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse. This underground cult classic used to be difficult to find, but I believe most bookstores carry it now, and it is most definitely available online. I was looking for it over the course of a few years. This was back before the internet was so easy to navigate, and I finally obtained a copy. The fantastical ideas presented of reptilians living under the Denver airport and the discovery of a secret document about silent weapons blew me away. It was the first compilation of conspiracy theories that I had ever read. I had to read through it twice and take notes down for later research. Of course, Bill Cooper would later be killed by sheriff's deputies in a shootout at his home in Arizona, which further fueled the fires of conspiracy theorists all over the world. At this point, I was hooked. Fast forward through time, and now I've got 20 years of observations and time to consider whether or not there is an ultimate conspiracy theory out there. Questions about the existence of aliens haven't been officially confirmed, but more and more evidence points to its existence. False flag operations have been unclassified, proving that we were manipulated into going into several wars. What used to be labeled as eccentric and nutty conspiracies are now being proven as possible and sometimes genuine truth. This has led me to continue my search for some kind of silver bullet that would ultimately prove without a doubt that there is some kind of secret cabal of rulers. This silver bullet doesn't yet exist, and hopefully it won't come true, because that is obviously terrible news. However, this book is written to inform others and present a breadth of knowledge into the world of conspiracy theories so that others can continue the research and in due time, we can either prove or disprove them once and for all.
What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
Start the new year right during the Xfinity Hello 2021 sales event. For a limited time, get Xfinity Internet and mobile together for only $35 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and mobile with our 1 gig wireless data option. Plus, get $250 back. This sale ends soon, so visit Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Internet offer requires paperless billing and autopay. Ends 1/11/21. Restrictions apply. New performance Starter Plus Internet customers only. Equipment taxes, regulatory recovery, and other fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.